Welcome back to my listeners, and welcome to any new listeners. This is the Letters and Layers podcast, and this is your host, Amaka. It is Saturday morning when I am recording. It is the 30th of March. Wrapped up my work week yesterday, which wasn't too bad. I have some work that I've committed to do this weekend, but right now, in this moment, I am focused on this podcast and what I want to share. How am I doing? I would say good. I would definitely say good. I am looking forward to this weekend being a little calmer because I was pretty social and active last weekend. My husband and I went to a tattoo convention last Saturday. I had been seeing these billboards all over Chicago for this, I think conference is the wrong word, this like tattoo expo. I think that's the most appropriate word. And I have a few tattoos, considering getting one or two more over the next couple of years. So that really intrigued me. So, and the tickets weren't that expensive. So my husband and I went, he has one tattoo, I have two. And I had never heard of like a convention or an expo around tattoos. So I was curious, and it was cool. It was pretty much, it was in a huge conference auditorium. You know, those things are like enormous. And there were like hundreds of tattoo vendors from all over the country. I didn't know it was a national, you know, kind of situation. There were tattoo artists from everywhere, every major city, every part of the country. It was really cool. And people were actively getting tattooed there because these vendors brought their marketing stuff. They brought things to kind of show their work, and they brought their tools and equipment. So one cool part of the conference / expo, even though I did not partake and my husband did not partake, is watching people get tattooed. And they were getting tattooed on all parts of their body. You know, some people were half naked, not because they wanted to be, but because the artist had to gain access to the location where they wanted to be tattooed. So if nothing else, it was an interesting way to spend a Saturday evening. There were so many people there. There were some like circus type of attractions, like personalities that had interesting talents, and there was music and food, and people brought their kids, and it was just, there was a very high energy in that space. There were people that were selling their art and merchandise alongside the tattoos, and people were really cool, you know, engaging in conversation. My husband bought some art. I didn't really buy anything. I was just kind of walking around and taking the whole scene in. It was an interesting experience. And I think they're actually doing it in different cities all over the country. And last weekend just happened to be the weekend that they were in Chicago. So we went, and I think it's actually called the Tattoo Festival. So if you are interested and maybe they haven't gone to your city yet, Google Tattoo Festival, your city, and see if they have not hit your city yet, because they usually go in like weekends. So that was cool. That was cool. My husband enjoyed it. I enjoyed it too. And then Sunday, I went to a cooking class, which was really cool. I went with a new friend of mine who I have been getting to know over the past few months. Very sweet. We're around the same age, similar interests. So she invited me to a cooking class downtown. It was Italian food, specifically chicken parm and fettuccine pasta, which anytime I have had chicken parm or fettuccine pasta in my life. It has not really been the best experience. It just has not tasted good to me. Chicken parm in my past has tended to be flavorless or just not a lot of flavor. And the chicken was soggy, not juicy. It was soggy. Like, there's a difference. And then the fettuccine pasta I've had in the past just was not good. Maybe it had like a unpleasant aftertaste. So when I found out what we were making, I didn't really have high expectations. I was like, let me go so I can spend time with my friend and we can talk and chat. And she invited another friend of hers, so it was an opportunity for me to meet her and, you know, just have a good time, whether we like the food or not. So we went last Sunday, downtown cooking class that was hosted by a type of store that sells Williams Sonoma-esque products, you know, kitchenware and things like that. I think it's called like Sur La Table or something. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But yes, they host cooking classes, I think a couple times a month, 1 to 2 times a month. And it was so fun. We made the pasta from scratch. Our chef was a Black man. I walked in and I was like, oh, this is a very pleasant surprise. I don't know really what I was expecting in terms of the chef. Unfortunately, I must admit, I did not envision it being a Black chef, but I was so happy to see that. It was a Black male chef. Myself, my friend, and my friend's friend who I met that day, I think were the only Black people in the class, but whatever, you know, we had an amazing time in our little corner by ourselves. So the chef was an amazing instructor, took us step by step, and we made the pasta from scratch. Pasta actually is not that difficult to make. I think it really depends, how good it comes out really depends on the quality of ingredients that you use. So we were using really good ingredients to make the pasta. We formed it through using a pasta attachment on the KitchenAid stand mixer, which I actually have, but I don't have a pasta attachment, which I now want to buy because of the experience that I had. My husband actually bought recently a meat grinder attachment because he's into like smoking and cooking meats and things like that, and he's been really enjoying using it. So I now want to buy a pasta attachment. When? I don't know, because those things, I looked them up and they're like $150. So I know I want to buy it. When I will, I can't tell you. But yes, back to the class. Had a great experience making the pasta, you know, great instructor. We kind of took turns with different steps, making the chicken, dredging the chicken, breading the chicken, seasoning it, you know, making the sauce for the chicken parm, making the fettuccine for the pasta. Everything was really fun. We had a good time. And when the moment came to try the food, I was a little nervous. Although so far up to that point, we were trying little components of the meal and they were tasting good. So, you know, my hope was kind of going up. And then when everything was ready and we finally dug in, it was so good. So, so good. Oh my God. I have never had chicken parm and fettuccine pasta that was that delicious. I'm a big texture person when it comes to food. I love texture in food. So I loved the texture of the fettuccine pasta, and I'm 100% sure it had a lot to do with making it from scratch versus buying it in the store. And I don't eat pasta often, you know, because of the high carb content. But I was convinced whenever I decide to pull the trigger, I will buy a pasta attachment and I will start to make my own pasta, even if it's a couple times a year, because the experience of making the pasta And, you know, making that meal and just, I just remember the chewiness of the pasta is what I enjoyed the most. And then the mild but flavorful fettuccine sauce, the juicy chicken with the very flavorful sauce and cheese on top and just eating it together. It was an experience. It was a great experience. We had a great instructor who was our chef. And just kind of being there together as new friends, because I believe my friend recently met her friend like a couple months ago too, because we're all transplants, you know, recently moved into Chicago within the last year or so. So it's been, you know, we're on similar journeys in terms of building community, and we had a great time. We even connected with another participant in the class who came by herself, you know, and is actually a student, I think maybe in her master's program. So she's in, I think even the States, I think she's from abroad, moved to the States for school and is trying to kind of figure out her way and came to this class by herself. And we clicked with her. So we got her information and told her that if we do the cooking class again, which we're planning to do, we will invite her and hopefully she can come. Because they have classes, like I said, a couple times a month. They have dessert classes. So there's a macaron class. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly because I love those treats. They have a macaron class that we are interested in taking. And I'm very interested in taking because I hear that macarons are very difficult to make. And that has kind of intimidated me because I am a baker. I love to bake. And I feel like how difficult could it be, you know? But I have heard that in terms of temperature and kind of like, you know, there's a temperamental aspect to making the dessert. So if we take the class, I'll definitely let you know, you guys know how it goes. But all in all, I had a great weekend last weekend and it was very eventful, a lot going on. So I don't really have much planned for this weekend. My husband and I are probably going to go see Dune 2. I have not seen Dune 1, but maybe I'll like watch a synopsis of the first movie or something before we go, because Zendaya is in the second installment and I'm a big fan. So if nothing else, I'll go, and I've heard great reviews, so maybe just kind of watching like a quick background video or something will be enough to help me figure out or know what's going on. And outside of the movie, don't really have much else planned. I wanted to go to the library tomorrow, but tomorrow is Easter Sunday, so change of plans, but I'll probably just do whatever I plan to do in the library at home. And ultimately, outside of recording this podcast, it's just supposed to be a chill weekend, which I am looking forward to. I'm going to do some work here and there, but as far as like big social events, we're taking a break on that this weekend. So that's how things are going for me. The weather is slowly getting warmer, and with that, more things are being planned, and I'm looking forward to the summer. So as far as what I'm talking about today, this is going to be a more conversational episode just about things that have really been heavy on my heart and in my mind, not in a bad way. They're not like negative or sad topics, but just ideas and insights that I feel like have kind of dawned on me recently that I want to share because I'm curious if people already adopt or, you know, kind of use these approaches or incorporate these into their life already, how it impacts them, you know, day to day. So the first thing is I have mentioned on the podcast that aside from my day job, you know, which has its difficult moments, but overall, you know, I am happy with what I'm doing right now. I would love to ultimately long-term have something of my own, be my own boss in a more concrete sense and, you know, do more so of what I'm passionate about on a wider scale. And I see different aspects of that I see some incorporation of media or like a media arm. I still see myself in mental health patient care, but long term, maybe to a lesser degree. But I am starting to develop a passion for just helping the people that I see on a regular basis when it comes to my work, help them have a better quality of life, even if their work or where they work, what they do is a major source of stress or anxiety. Because I do have a lot of patients who deal with panic and intense anxiety because of where they work. It's a very, very common theme. So I kind of want to long-term see how I can begin to partner with entities and companies and organizations and provide expertise on how to kind of help their employees and staff, you know, on the front end or upstream, you know, instead of waiting for things to get bad and for employees to be sad or have low morale or just not enjoy what they're doing, just kind of help them implement strategies in their day-to-day when it comes to their workplace on how to maintain or even improve state of mental and emotional well-being for their staff and employees. So I'm still fleshing the idea out, but I know, and this is not something that's gonna, you know, kind of be established overnight. It's a long process, but I'm at the point where like I have to start building relationships. So I went to a networking event a few days ago after work, and you know, it's my first one pretty much period that I have kind of taken my own initiative to go to. And as the day was getting closer and it was approaching evening time to go, I, like every fiber of my being was like, oh, we don't have to go. I even told my husband about it and he was like, that's a good idea. You should go. But I started to get like scared in a way, not like I wasn't like terrified or panicked, but you know, this is part of the process of stepping out of my comfort zone. And I kind of just wanted to stay in my little cocoon in the house and not leave and everything. And this type of, you know, behavior or action or step that I'm making, I am trying to remind myself more to judge it based off of how I feel after I've done it versus before. You know, so when it comes to things that I know will benefit me, maybe not right away, but in the long term, when it comes to steps I need to take for a greater goal, in the immediate present, oftentimes I don't want to do it. And in the past, I have let that feeling of, oh, I don't feel like doing this, to kind of decide whether I do it or not. But more recently, I have kind of internalized and decided that I'm not going to allow the me before the action to dictate if I do the action. I'm going to make the decision of doing it or the feeling of doing it be based on how I feel after. So kind of taking that approach makes it so that it doesn't matter how I feel before I do it. I might be kicking and screaming internally and not wanting to go to the event or not wanting to go and work out or not feeling like reading or writing or doing the things, you know, that I know deep down I'm meant to do. But on the surface, I don't feel like doing it. How I feel before those actions has no, you know, value. It doesn't even matter anymore. what I allow to hold weight is how I feel after. And I think using this approach is a game changer, because 9 times out of 10, I will always be happy or feel good about doing that action. I often don't feel like working out, but now I have decided you can't move based off of how you feel before. If you work out and you feel like shit, then maybe don't work out the next day, or whatever planned situation in terms of physical activity. You know, if you strained a little bit too hard, if you went a little bit too hard, you could take a break. But that very rarely happens. So always now I have to go based off of how I feel after I do the action, because 95% of the time I am happy that I did it. Whether it's writing, reading, working out, talking to people, I'm listing the things that I know I have to do for who I want to be in the future and where I see myself. But in the moment, it's hard to do because I am a creature of habit. I'm a creature of comfort. And that saying, an object at rest tends to stay at rest versus an object in motion tends to stay in motion. The transition from rest to motion is the hardest part. And keeping in mind that I have to disregard how I feel before and take into consideration more how I feel after has helped with that transition. So with that said, I went to the networking event and there were a couple of awkward moments here and there because I'm coming into an environment where I know nobody. I was nervous that I might be the only Black person. So I think that was part of my angst too, and kind of like trying to talk myself out of going, but I pushed myself anyway. And maybe surprisingly or unsurprisingly, I don't know, because I don't go to these things. This last week was my first time. It was actually a pretty diverse group, and I got to talk to a few people. I exchanged some business cards, and, you know, I left the event feeling happy and glad that I went. So how I felt after the event is completely different to how I felt before. If I went based off of how I felt before I had to go, I probably wouldn't have gone, because I'm very in tune with my feelings. I honestly might actually give too much flexibility to how I feel with things to the point where it prevents me from making steps forward. And I feel like I eventually do what I need to do, but because of how I feel, I waste time. So kind of keeping this approach in mind of doing what I need to do regardless of how I feel before I do it, and taking stock more so how I feel after, I think is only going to help me in terms of saving time, doing things more efficiently, and continuing to build, you know, step by step, the things that I want for my future, and, you know, continuously working towards who I want to be and how I see myself and where I see myself long term. So just wanted to share that in case that resonates with my listeners, or they haven't considered that before when it comes to kind of getting up and doing the things you know you need to do, the things you know you would like to do, but you don't feel like doing them. Disregard how you feel before you do it. Take more stock and consider more how you'll feel after, you know, because with that, it doesn't matter how you feel before, you're going to do it anyway, you know. And then very, very often, 9 times out of 10 for me, I'm always happy that I did it. So that's that. And I hope that helps. I hope that helps someone who's listening. So moving on, I've been thinking a lot over the past couple of months, especially with, you know, my efforts to kind of get my YouTube channel off the ground and just the creative process of that, and learning that I actually really like video editing, which doesn't surprise me really, but speaks to a part of myself that I feel like I was not connected to for a long time. And dialing into that part of myself more has me questioning a lot of things. I feel like as adults, the process, the journey from childhood to adulthood involves a lot of leaving behind and intentionally or unintentionally abandoning the things that made us happy when we were young. And what I'm thinking about specifically in this case is creativity, the creative parts of ourselves as people, and nurturing that creativity and working on it and being in that space and acknowledging and letting that part of ourselves come out as adults. I very much admire people who, despite what they do for a living, that might be very knowledge-based and analytical, they make time for the parts of themselves that are creative. And I feel like that's not something that I did for a very long time. But when I think about my childhood and being a teenager, I loved being creative. I loved drawing. I loved putting my imagination on paper. In elementary school, my favorite class was art class. I don't remember the name of my elementary school art teacher, although I feel like I see her face though, which is crazy. This is like over 20 years, maybe even 25 years at this point. I can kind of see her face, but I don't remember her name, her last name, because we, you know, address them by their last names, teachers. And I remember always looking forward to art class, which we had once a week, maybe Wednesdays. I don't remember exactly when. And I vaguely remember some pieces that I did with like pastels and watercolor and, you know, different forms of different mediums of expressing art. When I was in high school, I took a ceramics class, and that was my favorite class when I was taking it, because I believe I was a senior and it was an elective. So I picked it, and I remember making a treasure chest for a piggy bank. And I can see that treasure chest now, and I don't know what I did with it. And it makes me kind of sad. I'd hate to think that I threw it away. I don't know what I did with it, but when my family moved from New York, I know it did not come with me. So that makes me sad. But I remember in high school, I don't remember my high school ceramics instructor, but I remember that our major project towards the end of the elective was to make a ceramics piece. And I made this, I can kind of see it in my mind. It was a treasure chest, you know, in the most typical form, because I searched online what they look like and kind of just used that as inspiration. But, you know, It was supposed to be a piggy bank treasure chest. So on top of the treasure chest, it had a little slit to put coins and you know, dollar bills in. And, you know, I remember enjoying the process of making that that treasure chest. And I remember points of frustration because maybe it wasn't coming out at different points the way I had envisioned. But I feel like there are points of frustration in the process of creativity, especially if you're working on a long-term project. And that are the points where you kind of need to step away, maybe even, you know, sleep on it and leave things as they are, because I definitely believe that kind of taking a break from the creative process kind of helps with getting back into that zone, that flow state, because you can't be in that. You can't be in that state, you know, for an extended period of time. It varies from person to person, but I definitely believe in breaks when it comes to flow states, when it comes to creativity. So I remember the process of making that ceramics treasure chest, that piggy bank, and I remember points of frustration, but I also remember the sense of accomplishment that I felt when it was done. And it went into that like fire apparatus that kind of turned it from wet clay to, you know, a hard object. And then we painted it, and it was mine. It was my piece. And it was something that I kept in my room as a teenager for a very long time. Took with me, I believe, to college, but I feel sad that I don't have it with me. I have a lot of things with me that are from my childhood, but I don't have that, and it makes me sad. But I'm hopeful that I will take a ceramics class in the future, and then maybe I can make a new one. So yeah, I remember that fondly. I remember my elementary school art class fondly. I remember when I was young, really being into drawing fashion. I think this actually came out of a day or a period where I was just bored. And, you know, I feel like we don't give enough credit to the sparks of inspiration and creativity that can come out of boredom, because with our devices and just everything we have occupying our time, there's always something to do. As adults, there's always something to do. There's always responsibilities to, you know, kind of take care of and meet. Our brains are always occupied. If they're not occupied, we can occupy them, because we have the whole world in our phones. We have perpetual entertainment at our fingertips, and it does not allow us to get to a point of kind of just being with our thoughts and being still and being bored and letting inspiration and creativity kind of take root in that space and make things from nothing. You know, because we are reacting to the things in our life, and we are passively consuming the content on our phones, and we have very few opportunities to make things from nothing. And I think that's what makes the creative process for me and so many people a lifeline amidst what life can be. Because, you know, speaking from a place of psychology and neuroscience, when you talk about dopamine and the role that it plays in motivation, there is dopamine that the brain secretes and that you feel with a sense of accomplishment when it comes to creativity and seeing something from point of inception to its point of completion. And very oftentimes it will motivate you to continue, you know? And I think that's how artists become artists. One way, not the only way. When I lived in New York, when I was at my old job, I met a coworker who is now a good friend, and we clicked, and she approached me with this idea of kind of creating like a creativity group, because she is on a creativity journey and, you know, is really being intentional about tapping into that on a regular basis. And she asked me if I wanted to join, and I was like, yes, absolutely. So she and I and another friend who she invited meet once a month, and we've been doing this for a year, and we talk about how we are incorporating, you know, pieces of creativity in our life, whether it is daily, weekly, maybe it's one time between meetings. But I really appreciate having that space, because it has progressed not just as a place of talking about our creative pursuits, but just developing kinship between the three of us, and always keeping the underlying theme of creativity in our conversations. But it has brought us closer as women and people. And a running theme through our creativity groups has been this book that was recommended to me, I think, at our first meeting last year, called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I don't know how many people are familiar with the book, but this is one of those books, you know, I've talked about a lot of books on this podcast, and I've recommended a lot of books, but I don't think I have always said that this is a book that you should have in your library. Like, I feel like everyone should have a library. You know, it doesn't have to be bookcases and bookcases, but everyone should have a few books that no matter where they are in life, the concepts of those books apply. One book that comes to mind is What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce D. Perry and Oprah Winfrey. I believe that was the second or third book I talked about on this podcast. The concepts in that book still resonate, still apply, and I feel like will always apply, and if anything, will just be more and more relevant as I go about in my life. The Artist's Way is one of those books too. I haven't talked about it on the podcast. I have not developed its own episode because honestly, I don't think I could do this book justice in one or two or even three episodes. All I have to say about it is you should have it. Everyone and anyone should have The Artist's Way as part of their must-have books, because the premise, I have not finished the book because I'm kind of taking it in. I'm savoring it like a really good cup of tea that you don't want to finish right away. Or I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'll use coffee for my coffee people. It's like a really good cup of coffee where you're just taking a sip at a time and you're savoring it and you don't want it to finish. So honestly, like, I'll read or listen to the audiobook and then kind of like put it away because I don't want it to finish so quickly. But literally in the first 30 or so pages that I've already read, this book has completely changed how I feel about calling myself an artist and calling myself a creative. And it has me wondering if I was supposed to be a creative or an artist all along. Because, you know, I don't have any complaints about life, my life and what I do in terms of my day job. I feel like the work I do, even though it has its tough moments, is very impactful. And, you know, I do have times where I'm like, is what I'm doing making a difference? And I always come back to yes, it is. You know, there are a lot of people that are in a better place because we have been working together on their mental health. So I always come back to a place of, yes, what I'm doing is important and necessary. But I wish that my creative side was nurtured more and affirmed more in childhood and as a teenager and as an early adult. Because when I think about my creative journey from childhood, all the signs are there. All the signs are there. I know I'm a creative at heart. To what degree, you know, kind of positioning it side by side with my knowledge work and, you know, the analytical side of my brain that I use almost every day, like, I probably give too much weight to that side, because in being more intentional with tapping into my creativity, I have been a lot more happier. I've been a lot happier, just period. Kind of deciding I'm going to launch this YouTube channel, which entails filming footage and editing. I have seen how much I enjoy the process. Sometimes it takes a little while for me to get going, but when I get into that flow state, there's nothing like it for me. Being in a creative process quiets a lot of noise in my mind. And I think that's one reason why I started baking and gravitated to baking in nursing school. I remember starting to do that because I was at a particularly difficult part of the program and I just needed an outlet. So I started to bake. And there are so many levels of creativity, you know, with baking. You have the fundamentals so that what you're making tastes good. But, you know, kind of going outside of that concrete piece of the fundamentals of baking, there are so many ways to be creative. And I think that's what appealed to me at that point in my life when I was really into the knowledge and the science and the analytical nature of nursing and, you know, kind of feeling burnt out because it was nonstop and I wasn't being creative. And it did not occur to me to be creative because that's not something that I was encouraged to tap into and lean in on a regular basis when I was younger. So I think a lot of adulthood is realizing what you left behind in childhood that makes you happy or made you happy and reincorporating that into your life intentionally. Because if you're not intentional about it, you won't do it. There's just too much stuff we have to do on a regular basis. I think I said this on the last episode, maybe, that if I'm not doing anything or if I'm intentionally taking a break, it's not because there's nothing to do. It's because I have to call it at a point. You know, I can't be always working. I have to take a break. So this group that I've been in over the past year has been such a blessing to me because there is nothing like having a space where talking about creative pursuits and just throwing out ideas and sharing your creative experiences is affirmed and is encouraged and is just, you know, welcomed. And I don't know who has the capability or means of doing that, but if you have folks in your life who you believe would be receptive to this idea, then start a creativity group. You could meet once a month. It can be virtual. We were meeting in person before I moved, but now we meet monthly virtually and still get a lot from coming together, you know? And we're even planning to meet in person. They're planning to come to Chicago for a weekend and we're just going to do all the creative things. And I'm just really excited for that. So I am just thinking about who I was and am and how I feel when I'm actively in my creative space. And I can't describe the otherworldly, out-of-body experience that I sometimes have with being in such a focused flow state when I'm actively and intentionally in a creative space. I feel that when I'm baking. I feel that when I'm editing videos. I feel that when I'm reading The Artist's Way. I feel that when I'm writing. And it makes me, there's a part of me that's sad about the fact that I kind of always knew this was there, but it was not, the support wasn't there, you know, as a child, and not intentionally so. You know, I am a daughter of immigrant parents who came from Nigeria just to have a better life, and it was about working and, you know, being stable and providing a good life for themselves and their family. Who has time to be creative when you're working nonstop, you know? So I don't fault my parents for not nurturing my creativity. But what I have resolved to do when it comes to be my turn with my children is to nurture those sparks that I see in them from childhood into adulthood. I never want them to feel like that part of themselves needs to be hidden or is less important, because I know how that has affected me. And it's also unfortunate too that the opportunities to make a decent living or even like live comfortably and thrive in the society we live in is very difficult as a creative and an artist. And those opportunities are a lot fewer than knowledge and analytical based careers and opportunities. There is definitely a place for STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, math, but a person, in my opinion, is not whole without tapping into their creative outlet. And I believe that everyone has a creative outlet. They just don't know what it is. I did not think about that being the case before I read The Artist's Way, but I do now. Everyone has something that they can be creative with. Everyone can be an artist, because in my opinion, what artistry boils down to is making something from nothing. You know, the fashion drawings that I used to make in color, you know, I would create those outfits from nothing. The treasure chest piggy bank that I made in high school, I literally made that from nothing. You know, the clay was the vehicle, but the clay was clay. The clay was not a treasure chest. I made that into a treasure chest. All of my artistic works in elementary school that I don't remember, with the support of my art teacher, who I can see her face, but I don't remember her name. I made all those things from nothing. All the things that I baked. Baking is really making something from something else, you know? And to a degree from nothing. Not from nothing, but like you can't open your hand and form a cookie. You have to put things together, you know? And there's so many variations to that that speak to being creative. And I just wonder what creative capabilities I have that maybe I don't even know about. I know I love to write. That is also a vehicle for creativity, because I'm literally writing stories from nothing. They're just in my head, or ideas that I have. They're in my head, and then they end up on paper through the tools that are my hands. And that is something that I created from ideas in my mind, which at some point were nothing. So honestly, I'm not questioning my life choices, but especially with being in this group that I'm in, that we meet, you know, with regularly, we meet regularly, and just thinking more deeply about this, I'm just like, what would life have been like if maybe I took my creative pursuits more seriously, or maybe gave them more weight and channeled just as much energy as I did in creativity with how I, you know, do my day-to-day work? But what I am happy about is having these realizations and making the efforts now, because it's not too late, you know, it's nowhere near too late. There are people that discover their creativity being much further along in life or in age than I am. But I think the important thing is when you see it, you tap into it. I never played any musical instruments when I was a kid, but there was interest there. It just didn't work out in terms of moving forward with that. But art was always, honestly, I don't know, maybe art has been my first love. Because I love to paint. I took a painting class when I lived in Philadelphia. And I'm just like, just trying more regularly to have it be a part of my regular everyday life in one way or another. I think reading has a lot to do with it, because especially novels, because those are literally stories that were created from nothing. And now you're holding those ideas that were created from nothing in your hand, you know? It's sad to think that we as a society don't encourage creativity more. But if I'm going to resolve to do anything, you know, from this point on, which I have been trying to do, is remind myself that I am an artist, even though I feel ridiculous and silly calling myself that. I believe, you know, there are pieces of my identity that make me who I am. And some pieces have been realized a lot more than others because of the energy that I have put forth with those identities and the effort. But being an artist and being a creative, I am affirming that to be part of my identity too. And I'm just going to keep nurturing that. And when I have children, I'm going to nurture that for them. Because there are going to be times in life where things are hard. And, you know, whether emotionally or just life is kicking your ass, but creativity always makes things better. Being creative, having that outlet, quieting your mind in that way, and being focused always makes things better. I will end with just reiterating that everyone is creative. Everyone is creative. Everyone is able to make something from nothing. And no one has the right or ability to judge what you make, because what you make and what you do comes from you. Only you have that vision, and you have that vision because that vision is yours. Other people don't have that vision because that's not their vision, so they're not going to see what you see. So I want people, no matter how weird or unfamiliar that feeling or statement is, I want people to be more open to the possibility of them being creative and being artists in their own right, because everyone has that ability. And it doesn't matter what anyone outside of that thinks. Your creativity is for you. And you might choose to share it with the world, and you might not. And either way, that's okay. I'll end also by saying that I had a patient this week, a new patient who came in for an evaluation. And within our conversation, he said that he makes dream catchers. And he flipped his phone to show me all the dream catchers that he has made. And I was amazed. I was amazed. This is a middle-aged Black man who, at first glance, people would very likely not assume that this was a passion of his, but he said this, and then he showed them to me, and I was like, wow, wow. Dream catchers, very intricate pieces of art that were covering his walls. And it looked like it was in his basement. So I'm not even sure that there are many people that know that he has this means of artistry and talent. He mentioned that his wife is aware and supports him. But it just goes to show that anyone and everyone is an artist, and anyone and everyone can be creative and tap into that part of themselves and make their day-to-day lives that much more enjoyable. So I just hit an hour of recording. I thought this was going to be a short episode, but whenever I say that, it's the opposite. So I hope you guys enjoyed what I had to share today. As always, please rate and review if this episode or past episodes have positively impacted you. Please share this episode or any other episodes that you believe others may want to listen to and appreciate. Feel free to contact me at contact@theLettersAndLayers.com. Again, contact as spelled at theLettersAndLayers.com as spelled. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is in the episode description. Go ahead and follow that YouTube channel. I still have, you know, just a few subscribers, but I think over the course of building it, we'll start to kind of form a community, which I'm very happy and excited about. Because like I said on the last episode, you can never have enough communities for Black women where they can come and be nurtured and supported and celebrated. And that's kind of what I want. That's the vision I have for that channel. So still very little, but just humble beginnings. And YouTube is long game, so I am curious to see where things go over the next 6 months to a year and so on. But yes, as always, thank you guys for listening to another episode. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you in the next one. Bye.